As was announced, the reading is found in the book of Psalms. Be reading Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is a person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. That's Psalm 1, 1 through 3.
Good to be back with you tonight. Hope everyone had a good, peaceful, restful afternoon. As often on Sunday nights, I have just one thought that I want to leave with you, an important thought, I think, that we should make sure we have planted in our minds as we go through our day tomorrow and every day after that. And that is that God wants to bless us. He wants you to be happy. And when I use the word happy, I'm not talking about sort of a worldly kind of happiness, that surfaceness that comes and goes really depending upon the circumstances that we find ourselves in or the situations that come upon us, but a deeper happiness than that. The kind of joy that God over and over in his word tells us that he wants us to have. And it's important that we realize that about God, that he wants us to be full of joy and happiness. I've often said that our happiness isn't the main goal of God for us. The salvation of our soul, of course, is that. But that doesn't mean that God wants us to be miserable, that he wants us to be down and depressed or unhappy. No, God is our Heavenly Father, and he wants us to be happy, and he wants us to be joyful. I remember a couple of passages that come to my mind over in 1 John chapter 1. You remember when John is writing about the great subject of fellowship with God. That fellowship, of course, that comes through Jesus Christ. He says, beginning at verse 1, 1 John 1, and at verse 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we look upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4 he says, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. The King James, if I remember correctly, says that we're writing these things to you so that our joy may be full. And that's what God wants. You say, that's just a man saying that. That was just John, even though he was an apostle still. He's just a man. Yes, but he, of course, was an inspired man. But he wanted that for those he was writing to because he knew that's what Jesus wanted. You might remember in John chapter 15, turn your Bibles over there just for a moment. John the 15th chapter, where Jesus is talking about being the vine, of course, and we're branches in the vine. And he emphasizes how that we can bear fruit. In fact, he says that we, if we abide in him, can bear much fruit. But I want you to notice after he talks about all of that, what he says at verse 11. John chapter 15 at verse 11, Jesus himself says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That's what Jesus wanted. Why would he has changed with regard to that in any way? God wants us to have full joy. Jesus wants us to be full of joy. That's how he wants us to travel through this life. That's what he wants other people to see in us. He doesn't want the world looking at us and seeing people who, again, are miserable and unhappy and sad. He wants people to see the joy that we can have in him. God wants to bless us. In the great mountain message, the Sermon on the Mount, most of you are very familiar with that. And it is not by accident that as Jesus begins this greatest of all sermons, you remember he gives the Beatitudes, and they're called the Beatitudes because he begins with a series of exhortations to be blessed. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn, and blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and blessed are the merciful, and blessed are the pure in heart, and blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others revile you. And so blessed, blessed, blessed. And the Greek word for blessed there has to do with happiness. But again, not just a surface kind of happiness, but the deep kind of happiness that God wants us to have and that it is ours to enjoy in the kingdom of God. God wants us to be blessed. That's what he has always wanted for man. When he created man, Adam and Eve, and put them in a paradise garden, he wanted them to have a wonderful life, and they did, and they were enjoying that until they introduced sin into the world. And of course, ever since then, there has been sadness and sorrow. But it has always been God's will that his people be full of joy and happiness. So how is it that we can experience this kind of joy? How can we make this a reality in our lives, that we have the blessedness, the happiness, and the joy that God wants us to have? Well, we obviously don't have time to talk about the many things that are involved in it. But turn back over to the scripture reading for tonight, Psalms chapter 1, and let's notice what the psalmist has to say about this. He basically tells us how it is we can enjoy this blessedness. Psalms chapter 1 and the first three verses we want to look at. And the psalmist basically here tells us two things that we have to do if we want this joy and blessedness to be a reality in our life. It's interesting that this psalm, again, begins with the word blessed. Like, of all the words that this great book could have started with, and most scholars would tell you that this psalm, in fact, the first two psalms, kind of introduce the rest of the entire book. But it's interesting that this psalm, that the book begins with this word blessed. And the psalmist tells us what it is that we have to do in order to experience. Who is the blessed man? Who is the one that really has full joy, regardless of the circumstances of life or the situations that we find ourselves in? How can we truly be blessed by God? And there's, again, two major things. Number one, separation. We have to separate ourselves from sin and even from sinners. Not from the standpoint that we have no contact with them at all. 1 Corinthians 5 tells us in order to do that, we would have to leave this world. But from the standpoint of having a relationship with and mingling with and making friends of the world, we need to separate ourselves from that. The psalmist puts it like this. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. He's dealing with separation. isn't he? He says again, if we're going to be blessed and have full joy in this life, we must not walk in the counsel of the wicked. This world is filled with wicked people who have all kind of opinions and ideas, all kind of philosophies that they are setting forth. They have all kind of counsel that many people follow. But when you follow that counsel, because it's not grounded and rooted in the Word of God, it doesn't lead to lasting happiness and joy. But it's very tempting. Because that philosophy, the philosophy of the world, is what is in the majority in the world. And you hear it on every hand, different worldly ideas, different advice for us to follow. It's very tempting sometimes to go along with the crowd, to listen to the different philosophies, to follow the counsel of the wicked. But the blessed man doesn't do that. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't mingle with sinners. He doesn't develop that strong relationship with sinners from a friendship standpoint. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. And there's a progression here when you stop and think about it. Because after he talks about walking and then he talks about standing, he next talks about sitting. Nor does he sit in the seat of scoffers, those who laugh at and make fun of God in his word, in his ways. We don't, the blessed man, sit in the seat of scoffers. If you really don't want to be blessed, you do the very opposite of what the psalmist is saying for telling us to do here. And instead of just, we keep on walking and we never stop it. But if you don't want to be blessed, then what would you do? You first, it begins with walking, but then you stop and you stand with the sinner. And after a while, you get so comfortable, you sit down and begin to partake of the pleasures of sin. That leads to ungodliness and wickedness. There is no happiness, long-lasting joy in that. Instead, we need to keep on walking. We need not to stop, and we certainly need not to sit in the seat of the scoffers. We need to separate ourselves from the world and the sinfulness of it. Paul, of course, emphasized that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, turn over there. And it's a familiar text beginning at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning at verse 14. Paul writes, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And by the way, that's where blessedness is. That's where you can have full joy. That's fellowship with God. And that's what John said in 1 John 1. "I'm writing these things unto you," talking about fellowship, "that your joy may be full." There is no greater joy than knowing you're in fellowship with God. That can bring you true lasting happiness and peace and joy, regardless of the circumstances or the situations that come our way in life. And so here is God saying this to his people. This is what God wants. He wants to dwell with us. He wants us to be his people. He wants to be our God and our Father. But he says at verse 17, "Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Separation. Now don't get the wrong idea. We need to be very interested in the ungodly of this world. And we need to be willing to reach out to them with the gospel of Christ and try to influence them with the Word of God. But we don't need to hang out in places of sin. We don't need to make friends of this world. There has to be a separation. And this is the constant theme, not only here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, but throughout the Bible, the idea of not touching the unclean thing. Don't flirt with sin. Don't hang out with sin. Don't walk in the path of sinners. We need to live separate lives. But then there's something else. That's what we need not to do. That's looking at it from a negative standpoint. But if we're going to be blessed, there's a positive thing that we need to do. So there's something we need not to do. And then there's something that we must absolutely do if we want our joy to be full. And in Psalms chapter 1, he tells us what it is at verse 2. He says about the blessed man that his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. You want full joy? This Bible, Word of God, has to be a real part of your life. You need to delight in it. So you mean we need to study the Word of God? Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt that this is a part of all of that. We all need to study the Word of God. Like I've said to you many times, and you've heard it in pulpits like this many times, we all need to make a habit of studying God's Word and putting it in our mind and allowing that Word to dwell in us. That is absolutely a part of experience real happiness and peace and joy in this world. But I like the word that he uses here. It's not by accident. When he said it, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. See, it begins with your attitude towards God's Word. You really want to be the blessed man? You want to be the one who has this full joy that Jesus said he wants to give us? Then you have to love God's Word. You have to desire God's Word. This is the way Peter put it in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter, the second chapter. And this is the attitude that leads to studying the Word of God like we should. Yes, again, we need to study God's Word, but how are we going to do that? In this busy world in which we live, we're all very busy. There's a lot for all of us to do. Where do we find time to study? Well, you can find the time. There's no doubt about it. We can find time to do almost anything that we really want to do. The key is we have to really want to do it when it comes down to studying the Word of God. If you just kind of want to do it, every time something comes up, well, that'll be the end of that. You might put some time aside and say, okay, I understand the importance of studying, so I'm going to study God's Word, and this is when I'm going to do it. But then, of course, life happens, and things get in the way, and because it's not really, really important to you, and because you're just doing it because you think you need to, and that's it, then you'll allow whatever it is to stop you from doing that regularly. So the key is, you have to love the Word of God. And Peter is very emphatic about it here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice what he says at verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And then he says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that's the Word of God, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Peter says, like an infant longs for milk. That's how you need to view the Word of God. You need to long for God's Word. The psalmist says, you need to delight in the law of God. And when you love God's Word, there isn't anything that's going to keep you away from it. You will find the time to study and to meditate upon the Word of God. That's the man who is blessed. That's what the psalmist says. It's the man who delights in the law of the Lord, who meditates upon it day and night. It's always in his mind. He's always thinking about the principles of God's Word and decisions that he makes as he goes through life. He's thinking about the Bible and what the Bible would say and how he should react to this situation or that situation. It's just in his mind. He meditates on it day and night. And as you turn back one more time to the psalm, you notice what he says in verse 3 of the psalm. He says about this man, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. So it's a picture then, this blessed man, of someone who is strong and grounded and rooted and bearing fruit, a healthy tree that's alive and flourishing. And that's what we need to be, like that tree. And there's true happiness and joy and peace when we're living that kind of life. And that's the kind of character that we have. But you notice here in the psalmist what he says at the end there. He says, and its leaves do not wither. It doesn't matter what the climate is like. What the weather is like, it doesn't matter with this healthy tree. Its leaves are simply not going to wither. And he says, in all that he does, he prospers. And in that prosperity, not just physical, but even spiritual, more importantly, spiritual prosperity, he has full joy. He is blessed by God. Let's look at one more passage talking about that kind of prosperity. The passage is found in Joshua chapter 1. You remember the time when Joshua was taken over for Moses. And he had big shoes to fill, didn't he? You can imagine how nervous Joshua must have been and intimidated by just the challenge of following in the steps of Moses. But notice the advice that he is given in Joshua chapter 1 and beginning at verse 6. The Bible says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Now watch, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that ye may have good success wherever you go. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What was the key? Not turning away to the left or to the right from the Word of God, but meditating upon it day and night. Well, that's what the psalmist said we need to do if we want to prosper. We need to delight in the law of the Lord. If we do those two things, we separate ourselves from sin and even to some extent from the sinner themselves. Not making friends of the world, living a sanctified, set apart, separated life. And we do so while we meditate upon the Word of God. We'll be blessed by God. There's true joy, full joy in that. And that's what God wants you to have. Never think that God is sitting on His throne wanting you to be miserable, not caring about your happiness. As I said in the very beginning, that's not the most important thing. But as a Heavenly Father to us, He wants His children to have full joy and to be happy. And this is how you do it. It won't guard you from all difficulties and trials and tribulations in life, but through it all, you'll have full joy. But you have to live a separated life, and you have to stay in the Word of God. I hope that we'll all do that. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not do that? You can start your journey in God's Word, living by the Word of God. But it all begins with accepting Jesus as your Savior. You do that by obeying the gospel of Christ. You have to have more than faith. Faith alone won't do it. You have to follow the plan that God has set forth. You have to hear the Word of God. That's obvious. John 6, verse 44 and 45. But then, not only, you can't just hear the Word of God and forget about it. You have to do something with it. You have to believe what you're told. You have to believe the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that He is that Christ, the Son of the living God. Mark chapter 16 at verse 16, John chapter 8, verse 24, many other passages. And then you have to repent of your sins. Remember, God, as we said earlier, God is a God of light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If you want fellowship with Him, you have to repent. You can't just keep on sinning. You make up in your mind that you're going to turn away from sin and start serving God. And then you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth. You don't have to confess a bunch of sin. You have to confess your belief that Jesus is God's Son. And we have an example of that in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian eunuch made that good confession. You have to do the same thing. Then you have to be buried in the waters of baptism. That's where your sins will be washed away by the blood of Christ. You'll become a new creature in Christ, and you can start a new walk. Walking not in the way of sinners, but walking with God. Walking by faith. And God will bless you, and you can have full joy. Make that happen. Start tonight by obeying the gospel. Or if you need to repent and pray God, if you're a child of God, you haven't been walking the way you should, you could start a new walk tonight. Repent, ask God for forgiveness. John said He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. But you have to take action. And we hope that you'll do so tonight as we together stand and sing.